Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome to the 100th episode of Goal Lounge TV. And tonight, this is a special, special evening. We've got Nick Stothard, the King of the North, also super excited for many other reasons, and we will be touching on that. We've then got, at the bottom, Moses Sisele. We know his team hasn't played in a while, so he is making an appearance. Had they lost, we do know he would have been absent. And then, of course, we've got Ronga Denga. Who's playing with his green screen there, trying to get it right. It looks like he's smelly and his teeth are red, but it's fine. He is here and he's ready. But the biggest announcement yet is the trouble in Manchester. Yes, we know Ole is not playing Ronaldo. And yes, it seems like when you go to the bush, the internet connection doesn't always work. So Selo is trying to work on technical difficulties. But tonight is our 100th episode. Gentlemen, let's hear some noise.
Hey!
Yeah.
I've even got a beer tonight.
Yeah, for Nick's not celebrating because it's 100.
You've got plenty reasons to celebrate, yeah. Plenty billions to celebrate, yeah.
billions. Like, yeah, I'm just celebrating because, yeah, it's 100. Meanwhile, the man's wearing... You know, the rumor is he's not going to need green screen. His curtains are going to be green. His walls are going to be green. Everything's going to be green. Saudi-backed room there by Nick.
Yes. Shout out to that. Yes. You're officially the biggest club in this group. How does it feel?
And that's my man. That's my mate, Ott. Yes. I see he's commenting on the YouTube. Is it YouTube? Yeah. Fellow Newcastle fan. Commenter. So yeah, we
you're actually growing, used to watch gentlemen.
No. We used to watch actually. So he's one of the ones before.
Sorry, Nick. We're going to give you a little shout out, a proper introduction. But hang on, guys. Louis Murray is speaking Portuguese. He's saying, "Boa noite." He's bringing out the Portuguese for the 100th episode. I love it. And also, Pooms, 100 episodes. Yes, man, Pooms. Yes. I think he's made a good, 97 appearances. Let's give him a round of applause. Wonga, you
shout out, shout out.
Come on, Wonga.
He's back to being the smallest club anyway.
Exactly, that's the problem.
Gentlemen, also it gets better. For the 100th episode, we've got a new viewer. His name's Johan Vermeulen. Gentlemen, shout out to Johan. Johan, thank you.
What's up, Johan?
Johan,
what's happening, guys?
All right. We don't know what's happening with Selo. He's still trying. You know, like Manchester, always going to be trying. But the good thing is he has the means. Do you want to open up with anything before we kick on our normal agenda? Do you want to say anything to the people online?
There's an elephant in this room today.
My view. A big one.
The big boss is in the room now.
The chairman. The president.
Gonna sit on sit
the
like
sheikh,
a chairman there.
The crown prince of Saudi Arabia.
So Nick, how's it felt the first few days of being the biggest club in probably the world?
Gentlemen, I said before we kick in, is there anything you want to speak to the people before we jump straight into the Newcastle takeover? Do you not want to say anything? Well, making it to 100 episodes. Wonga's been quiet. He's really thinking hard about this.
I think it's been hard. Like Wonga, you know, I've also felt it's been a hard 100 shows, especially because our teams are so poor. So, you know, like we haven't had many moments when we could come on here and, you know, pretty much come here and be happy. But yeah, Wonga, I'm sorry, bro. I'm leaving you behind now.
For me, bro. You know, funny thing you say that, Nick. Wait.
We need somebody to support him.
It's now officially Newcastle have the richest owners. Then second is Man City or PSG. And then third, technically speaking, is Arsenal. They do have one of the wealthier owners. Just putting that out there. But anyway, as you were.
They're number three. But
On the list, they're number three.
Seriously?
It's in terms of the owner's wealth, I think.
Owner's wealth.
Is that what you're comparing? Yeah, owner's wealth. Yeah. So whether or not they're willing to spend the money is a different story. But ours are willing, Wonga, and yours aren't.
So Sam,
you're busy buying players like Pepe, boy. And Ben White, boy.
I don't even... take your best players, Wonga. Aubameyang, come. Smith Rowe, come.
Give the youngsters a chance.
Don't make these jokes. Gents, don't make these jokes. I think they might be coming after Salah too, and I think that's probable. I'm just putting that up. Wonga, anything you want to say?
Definitely.
No, man. I just, like Nick said, it's been tough. Prison for me, but I mean, look, it is a thing. I do enjoy it, and it's nice. I mean, having other guys. I mean, not even on the show itself. I mean, even on the Discord channel, all that stuff that we share together. I think we're growing a community slowly, and it's a nice thing. I mean, it's never been done before. I've never been part of such a thing, and I just look forward to seeing where it takes us.
Shout out to that, man. That's 100%. I echo that sentiment as well. Like, it's been an awesome 100 shows so far. I think it's been lovely interacting with everybody watching.
Sorry, Mosa. I know you're also going to get touching because that was not the angle I was briefing Wonga before the show, but it was meaningful nonetheless. So thank you, Wonga. But Mosa, I mean, we do 100 episodes. I think you've made less than half. So also, don't get too excited. You need to improve up your game.
All that matters is I'm on here as much as possible, and it's been lovely to interact with everybody. Even the comments and the views that everybody's been sharing, it's been deeply insightful from my perspective to hear everybody's views, and it's been exciting to do this with you all. So I've been very, very happy to be part of this team, and I see we have another big team player in the back there, Newcastle, joining the fray. So for the next 100, I just wish Wonga the best of luck. He's got us to rely on. You've got a shoulder to cry on every week. We'll be celebrating, and we'll share our celebrations with you, champ. Don't worry, you're with us in mind and in spirit.
I think you touched on it, Wonga and Mosa, but like I think, Claudio, this has been your dream, creating a community. We've only just started, 100 is a big number, but it's actually small in comparison to what this is actually going to become. So it's really cool to sort of reach out to the Premier League community within South Africa. And I think it's just going to grow. People relate to us, we relate to them, and it's just good to talk about the best league in the world. And I'm one of the big dogs now, so I'm pretty chuffed. listen, a few months ago, I was talking about potentially not being on the show and having to support a team like Brentford.
Yep.
But now, a couple of months later, I've cried about this. You guys sort of don't really respond. You guys just sort of nod your heads and ask shame, poor Newcastle. And then we swiftly move on to one of your teams that's doing well. And I'm actually proud of what I used to say, and I stand by it. And now I'm here sitting very proud. Very, very proud.
let's be honest, though. I mean, you do, first of all, I like that you mentioned it is my dream. So the community is coming together. I mean, the guys like Sam, like Pums, Louis coming in, bringing Johan, go Liverpool. You're my man, Johan. I like you. You need to show up more. The fact that this is growing, we do have a community. This is what Goal Lounge is. And we want people to feel like they can have the chat with us. And more openly, you can join our Discord channel and have further chats. So thank you for doing that. So I like that, Pat. You mentioned dream, Nick. Dream. Yeah. Yes, this is a dream coming true. Thank you, gentlemen, for helping me make this happen, and to everyone else who's online making this happen. But nonetheless, Newcastle time. You mentioned it was said. It's been said. You're right. We've been forced to listen to you. We just know you've got good knowledge of the game. And talking about Newcastle, let's be honest, Wonga, you can even put up your hand. It's been tiring listening to Arsenal. Ach, to Newcastle. And Arsenal.
And Arsenal.
Not anymore, gentlemen. But not anymore. So it's a good time. I think, I don't know if you guys, gentlemen, follow the kickoff, but even that guy says, I mean, he's got a huge show and the show is about him and everyone else has to talk about their team. And he says a lot of the time he's just facilitating, but now his team can finally get into the mix. So let's talk about getting to the mix. Let's talk about getting to the mix. The Newcastle takeover. Nick, where do you want to start here? Because there's a lot to unpack.
Guys, so I spoke about this, and to be very honest with you, you need to do a lot of reading on the actual situation surrounding the takeover to actually understand what's going on. And I try to sort of break it down for you guys. And what was quite interesting is we spoke on Tuesday about something potentially happening. I'm not too sure it was on the show. I think Claudia, you were, Wonga, you were. I'm not sure, Mosa, but I'll see. Yeah. Remember when it came out that the Premier League, in a court case, it had come out that the Premier League had threatened Newcastle expulsion about 12 months ago, 18 months ago. And this sort of all came out and
oh no.
No way.
Just Tony has his chance.
There's no conspiracy. That should just happen.
It's the Saudi guys. They're monitoring all his information at the moment. No way. Oh, wow. How could that happen? Anytime.
It just shows you that 100 shows in technology. You like saying it, Musa. Technology will humble you quick.
Yeah, quick. It's just went to humble him now. But yeah, man, I was
Did
there
you guys
when,
kick
when
me out?
We had to chip. We do that to the biggest teams.
What's going on,
they
guys?
Must get out of here.
No, it said something about my audio being disconnected. I don't know what's going on.
We can hear you. Okay, now GP.
No, we can't.
Just like that, we get two minutes short. What are we going to do? We're going to continue.
And you know, this thing should be dropping Wanga because there's nothing happening from the Arsenal side. The Arsenal camp is the same old.
It's showing you a comeback. No change. A comeback is being brewed. That's what they're showing you.
The Krumpers have money, boy. They've put in Golan's money as saying, let's cut the other boys off. Let's give Arsenal more airtime.
By any means necessary. But it's powerful what Nick was talking about because last week, Tuesday, he did come into the show and he was very vocal about the fact that, you know, you couldn't believe that some of the dealings that had taken place in relation to that Saudi takeover had gone as they did get revealed to the media and the public last week. And it was scary to see that, you know, ownership, club ownership wasn't as clear cut as most people would presume it to be, or as clear, just for people to scrutinize how teams get bought and what the processes are for them to get new ownership in the building. And those secrets were coming out quite publicly last week. And to see that very quickly after that, the governing body allowed the takeover to happen is actually quite still a sign of how much information is circling in the background, which most club managers and owners aren't privy to and is still in the hands of the top six or top four. I don't know where to put your club, Wanga, to be honest. Sorry, man. But the top six teams, they generally have a strong say in how the league is governed and how it's how competition is allowed in the league. And seeing those revelations and then seeing the news that Newcastle could go ahead with their deal and close on the deal is quite exciting, and it's something refreshing for us as fans. And I'm sure Newcastle fans, there'll probably be plenty more joining Nick from now on, who may be moving from Man City to Newcastle 100%. To you know, celebrate the fact that, you know, there's going to be this revival of energy and focus from the Newcastle camp.
Yeah, definitely. And I do think when we were looking, I mean, all the talk about sports washing and, you know, Saudis and all the, look, at the end of the day, the gents have the money. And if they weren't going to spend it on Newcastle, they were going to spend it somewhere else. So as Premier League fans, one thing, despite the moral dilemma and all the ethical issues that obviously attach to all of this, and it's obviously all the noise that the people who aren't involved in receiving the benefits are going to be making. They're always going to be making these noises. But when you're looking from a Premier League perspective, what I am very excited about, and I know there's some Liverpool fans making noises and saying, Liverpool aren't going to be able to compete now. But the thing is, a club like Newcastle, we can see what Man City were able to accomplish with the club that they have, right? Could you imagine the same thing happens with a Newcastle? Could you imagine the sort of growth that a club like that, and not even growth, but what the fans deserve? So that's going to be an exciting thing. I think we all talk about, I mean, traditionally we had a top four. A top four has become a top six. Now we've got a Newcastle, throw a top seven into the mix. We're not going to know where we're lying. And for me, at the end of the day, I said for this season, if we can have at least four people, three teams competing for the number one spot, I'm going to be very happy. Even if that means one of our teams miss out, it's going to be very entertaining. And now we just throw in another team into the mix. So we're going to get a bang for buck from an entertainment perspective. And that's where I'm super excited. Nick, I don't know if you want to touch on this because you're back with us and we're excited to hear from you.
Yeah, I'm ecstatic, naturally ecstatic. And I think from my point of view, you know, there is a lot, you know, there's a lot of haters out there. But, you know, if you just look at, you know, I'm not not needing to justify it, but if I did have to justify what the Saudis are involved in, you guys can just do a quick Google search. And they're involved in sport, F1. They're the biggest funders of
F1. Saudi Aramco.
Disney, yeah. Apple, Twitter, Facebook. So like your day-to-day lives, when you next time you catch an Uber, you know, then – you know, if you're against the Newcastle takeover, you shouldn't be catching an Uber. So in hindsight, you know, I think if it was going to, you know, a Liverpool, a Man United, an Arsenal, I don't think those fans would be too upset. So from my side, I'm just excited to have our club back. They want to pump money into the team, you know, help the city grow, develop the city, and you know, hopefully we can have a team that we're proud of. Ultimately, I know it's not going to happen overnight, but if we can add a few players in January, you know, hopefully we stave off relegation and finish strong.
Do you think Steve Bruce will be the guy making the nod for the new players that are coming into the club?
No chance. I was hoping that he was gone before. I was hoping he was gone before Sunday. That looks unlikely at the moment.
No, Nick, if they did that, they would have cut him on 999 Premier League appearances as a manager. So I think give him the 1,000th.
I think from my perspective, you know, I don't think he deserves it. But I do think what is good about the situation is they are sort of looking at this properly. They're not... you know, they're not rushing anything. I think this takeover was approved without them even knowing that it was going to be approved. You know, they were going to a court case, and then I think Premier League didn't want to be caught with their pants down. So they said, okay, cool, you can have your takeover. So I think plans that they put on ice a year ago, which from what we're finding out now was Rafa Benitez to come back. I think that changes everything now. They're looking at getting a football director in, which will be, from what I'm understanding, Luis Campos, who was last at Lille. He was at Monaco when Monaco.
Is it Sevilla now?
Hey, you're back. Someone's got a voice.
From what I understand, he's out of contract, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, he's out of contract in Sevilla, but he's a mastermind. Sevilla, Lille, Monaco, the whole Monaco revolution with Bernardo Silva, Fabinho, Bakayoko, Mbappe, Martial, even before that. That's the guy who brought all those guys together to win.
And then the other name is that I can't pronounce his name. He was at Red Bull Leipzig.
Ragnar.
He's apparently for the director. Yeah, but they're also considering the Dortmund coach as well. There's also
Lucien Favre.
The other one. He took over end of last season. He's the Croatian gentleman, Cetsek or something like that. I don't even know.
There's so many names. I get so dizzy.
The interim manager.
Yeah.
I get so dizzy, to be honest with you. Like, it's so exciting to have names.
Sorry, Nick. Hang on. Did everyone just hear that? He gets so dizzy. For the last couple of years, he's been linked on nothing but Steve Bruce, and now he's getting dizzy. Is it too much, too fast, too soon? Is that what's going on?
It's all happening right now, Chem.
I go into Twitter, and the Newcastle fans are actually happy with each other. To Newcastle Twitter was a horrible place for the last 2-3 years. Like infighting. But we only infighting because we hate our manager and we hate Mike Ashley. So, I mean, listen, you know, the list is a great list. I think with the money that we have, we should go big. You know, I don't think why should we settle for a Graham Potter?
What's your big boy?
I think Conte would be fabulous. Like I've heard that he's in and then he was out, and then I heard that it was potentially back on. I know he likes his teams already oven baked before he starts to take over. So I'm not too sure if that would be an option. I would love, like, I know it's a bit out there, but I would love a Zidane. Like, guys.
Listen to Zizou. You.
Zizou. There was a rumor that
Putin Musumani
might go there.
You can't even keep it at Al-Ali. Al-Ali, though, already looking to get rid of the guy there. But also, Hodge is in the house, gentlemen. Thank you. This is a new addition to the squad. I think, Wonga, you know him very well. I know him quite well because actually he used to be my neighbor. So, Vard, thanks for joining us. He's saying,
shout out.
They're trying to do it the Villa way. And I find this very interesting because how are we including Villa in this conversation? Nick, are they really trying to do it the Villa way? I know, like trying to build up, trying to get the team going, the club back. Yeah.
Listen, I have no doubt. I think the way that we should be doing it, I have no doubt that's more than likely the way in January will be to buy players that are potentially high-level players that are not playing at their clubs. So I think like Celo and I spoke about it the other day. There's a host of Man United players that we linked with, not Phil Jones. I think a Jesse Lingard would be a good fit. I think Martial is one of them. Cavani is one of them, but I doubt he would come. You've got a Cavani at the end of his career. You know, maybe he wants to make a packet to send back home to his country. You never know. He might just come, can't play every game. And then, I mean, you go down the list. You know, you've got guys at Chelsea that are not playing. You've got guys at Arsenal that we can take because we'll be better than them. I would take a Dele Alli.
There's no quality players at Liverpool that are not playing. They only use 14 players at Liverpool.
So what is interesting here, Claudio and Jason, I keep ragging Jason about this, but that Salah comment was quite interesting. And I just... Are you not concerned as a Liverpool fan because he hasn't signed a new contract?
Here's what's going to happen. I'm not concerned because I know how Liverpool do their dealings. I think someone commented, I'm not sure if it was Mosso or I can't remember who it was. Look, Salah isn't staying at Liverpool. It's done. Everyone's saying the Liverpool faithful and the old legends are saying, give the player what he wants. Give it what he wants because you know he deserves it. But the Liverpool club, they look at it from a business perspective. They're going, the Oaks 29-30, he's asking, he's going to break our wage structure. We don't want this. Apparently, there are rumors already of them looking at João Felix, and I don't think this is a great move, but it's on a free transfer. Osama Dembele, the one from Barcelona, the one who's always injury-prone, they're already looking...
He's not going to play.
He's not going to play, but the point is, the conversation is that's already happening. So they're saying the conversation with Salah, it's already stalled. And that's why I'm saying, I'm looking at Newcastle, a Saudi-owned club, aren't going to... You're telling me they're not going to give this guy what he wants?
Yeah.
And then they're going to say, let's give it to Salah. And then say, Salah, listen, we're not just going to give you money. We're actually going to build a squad around you. And they're going to be like, But also, I just want to say this quickly. Something to be said about Amanda Staveley. Because when I first read...
My first daughter's name is going to be Amanda.
Amanda. Well, there we go.
Sorted.
Love it. Amanda.
Before I talk about Amanda, Wonga, you're getting called out here. Do you have a voice? What's going on here? Has Golan suppressed you? Have we ever pressed you here on the show? What's going on?
Sav, it's hot.
What is it you say? My team is, you can see already Nick Smith, made a jump and a half. I don't think anyone can jump that high in the league. I mean, look at your options. Jeez, look at your options. No one's even worried about the history of the club. They're going to see, okay, look, these guys can put so-and-so in. And I mean, look, the money can talk. Ah, my team. Is worrying. It is a good concern.
We'll give you 150 million, Jason. That's just the difference.
Found your voice, sir. Now you can. You just dish your things out. Options like Zidane coming up. Woo! 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 Nice. Being a big team.
When they change the manager and they bring in, let's say, two or three quality players, they're going to start disrupting a lot of teams because obviously no one was really expecting this to happen this year. It's going to start disrupting a lot of teams.
I think Amanda, you were speaking about Amanda Staveley. I think she's come in and she's, like I said to you earlier, she's had a few press conferences and she said they want to do it the right way. So I don't see them rushing, pressing, or making knee-jerk signings or reactions to speculation that the media or the pressure that the media is putting on them. So I do think they would need to, get the people they need in. They need to still hire a CEO. They still need to get a director of football, a manager. And then I think the planning now for January will start. And, the manager needs to work with what he has, and there's a few players there that he can build around. You know, you've got to say Maximum, I think with good players and a good coach, he can be a great player. I think Almiron, Callum Wilson has the goals. And, you know, unfortunately, there's going to have to be a bit of a clear out.
And, Nick, when you say that, though, do you think the new owners will be comfortable with the notion that Newcastle could be at the bottom of the log come January and not have to make those big decisions, given that it's a status that they just bought and they wouldn't want to lose it because they're playing it very responsibly?
So, I mean, if you look at it that way, if we are still in a treacherous position, you know, then they might go spend big and make sure that we are safe. But I do think, you know, I think a new coach will, I think on Sunday, I think Spurs, you know, Spurs must be wary because that stadium is sold out. It's going to be an incredible atmosphere. And I wouldn't like to be Spurs going there, regardless of who I'm playing.
And but don't you think it's funny, though, that our two North London sides are probably going to be the weakest on the show? I think that's the irony behind all this. Yeah. As you were. Sorry, continue.
But I do think...
Just leave West London out of it, please. Yeah. We're still one of the biggest.
I would say, Mosha, I do think if we can purchase wisely, you know, we could have a decent finish to the season, maybe a top 10. And then I think you get a proper summer with the new manager and you just have a full go at it. You know, they said 5 years. I think they say 5 years simply because they just want to make sure that we don't get ahead of ourselves. And that's fine. That's fine. You know, it took time. Chelsea, it took the quickest. Man City, it took a bit longer. I think Chelsea, Roman Abramovich, like literally threw everything at it and it worked. You know, I think within like 18 months, you guys were already challenging properly. City, it took a bit longer, but I think they also did the mistake. I think they'll learn from City. I mean, they kept Mark Hughes in for long. They were signing players that were sort of has-beens or guys that hadn't
English
really
players.
Made it. Yeah, and I think if you go and sign... I mean, if you go and look at players that are proven Premier League quality that can fit in a certain system with a proper direction, and football's evolved since then, guys. You know, that was 2008. You know, we've got football now in 2021. You know, you've got directors of football that work with a philosophy. You've got managers that are forward thinking. The game has evolved, and I do think things move a lot quicker. PSG's takeover also, that elevated them very quickly, you know. So, listen, it's not a given recipe that we will be one of the best, but at least I won't have to worry about, you know, not being a member of the show anymore. And maybe, like, competing in Europe again could be a possibility.
And that was a real possibility. So I just want to touch on, before we move on from this, I want to touch on the Amanda Staveley thing. So the conversation was, and I know, obviously, she'd land up with Newcastle, the second choice. We know the first choice is Liverpool, because she watched the Newcastle-Liverpool game, and she actually wanted Liverpool, and she approached FSG, and they said no. So she was like, Newcastle, it's going to be. But what I actually want to say is, it's been 4 years.
How this discussion?
That's why I wanted to touch back on Amanda.
It's a family club.
Family club. Let's go back to his roots.
We include everyone there, Musa. But what I want to say is, it's been 4 years of her trying to get this done, and we might not have seen everything. So whatever is going to happen, you can trust that it's been thought of. You can trust that, like Nick's already spoken about, learning from a Man City and learning from others. So there's going to be a lessons learned. And I don't think she's going to be rushing into anything. She's already talking about assessing where they're at before they make these decisions, and I think that's a wise move. So that's very good. Also, Pum saying, watch Coutinho playing for Newcastle in January. January might be too soon. Maybe end of the season, that's a huge possibility. Also, this is an open question to everyone. Sam saying, if Liverpool lose Salah, it will always, I suppose he's not saying it, this is a statement rather, it will be a huge loss. Let's accept it. A loss which shall probably push them back.
Yeah.
Do you gentlemen agree with this?
Yeah.
Depends.
Most depends on the replacement. That's the question.
Yeah, it depends on the replacement. Because he has so many goals for you and assists, so
yeah,
like,
the
it
goals
is a tricky
are gone.
One, you know, I mean, will you be able to currently, you know, replace that with what you have? I don't think so. I don't know.
I think of the fact that Liverpool had Suarez, and they moved past Suarez, and they could still win a Premier League and a Champions League after Suarez left. I think Suarez is probably one of their greatest strikers in the last decade. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and they moved past Suarez. And then Coutinho left, one of their greatest Number 10's creative forces. That guy was hot when he left Liverpool. £142 million. They moved past that. Two players we probably thought they could never replace. And they got a Mohamed Salah from Roma. We're like, ah, this guy was at Chelsea. He didn't really do that well. And he did well. Man. So I think that, guys, if they get the right replacement in terms of mindset of a player, it all depends on mindset of a player. You can, obviously, he can do well. You know, I think anyone can probably do well in a club system. Just it's all about mindset.
But I think you need a...
Maybe not. They'll win a Premier League again, like, quickly, as soon as, like, that player comes in, but they will still be thereabouts in top four.
You know, I think Stelo says it right. You need to find the right sort of player to play for Liverpool. You know, you, Claudio, you'll know, you can't just play for Liverpool. Liverpool, it's a different type of club. So you need to find that special type of mold to fit into, yes, a system with a manager, but also a player that can, you know, burden the jersey of or carry the burden of the jersey that he wears, you know, because it's not it's you know, you've got a hectic fan base behind you, and you know, it's some players shrink in those situations, so it might be tough to replace, but they've done it in the past, like Celo says, so why not?
But I guess it's also dependent on the horizon. The horizon that the team that you're looking at their success to come back. Because if you're looking and you lose Salah in January or end of the year, then for Liverpool to go out and say they're going to compete for the top spot in the Premier League and compete for Champions League next season might be a very, very soon. I think they'd probably need to take another season or two to get everything sorted with all the other players and then form some chemistry to get those type of accolades, given the competition will be up from all the other clubs. As we've seen this season so far, there are already more clubs competing for the top spot. If they are to lose their best players, it's very difficult to see them competing at the same level this current season. I think that horizon, it will hurt Liverpool quite significantly at this point in time. If you're looking 2-3 years down the line, potentially there's a case for Liverpool. But then again, there'll be a good case for Man United, for Chelsea, for Newcastle, for Man City, all the other big teams that have been improving over the past couple of seasons will continue to do so.
But again, please look at the comments.
Big teams.
Guys, look at the comments. Look at the comments. Louis is saying they're going to wait another 30 years. And Johan is also saying the same thing. 30 years.
Johan is saying 50 years is too long. He's saying he's being polite. Maybe 5 to 10. What he's actually saying is Louis Murray is on crack cocaine. It's actually what he's saying.
Football's a funny thing, guys. Football's a funny thing. Look at my team, guys. We won a title about 8 years ago, 7-8 years ago. You know what I mean? You know, it's tough, guys. You know what I mean? Chelsea had 20 years.
Guys,
a funny thing.
Should we put money on
it's not like
this?
The teams are running away with it at this point in time. It's only getting tougher. And with guys like Newcastle getting money, that throws another big team into the bag where, yes, they might need a season or two to get it right. But after that season or two, boys are going to be there, dog. They're going to be one of the biggest teams in the UK, and then look for European football. Whereas if Liverpool do lose a Salah, it's very difficult to say they'll bounce
Newcastle,
right back.
Newcastle to win the league before Man United. What's
the odds of Newcastle to win the league before Man United? Most definitely.
If Ole is still there. Hey, man, don't you want to take Ole?
No, I don't want Ole. I would have taken Ole last week Tuesday, but not anymore.
Things are different now.
Jason saying, as long as Ole's at the wheel, Man United are in good hands. I agree. Also, shout out, hold the phone. We've got a new viewer here, Patrick, Mr. Patrick, the one and only Patrick. Thank you for joining us, Patrick.
Yeah.
We appreciate you. And huge fast
shout
huge
out, Patrick.
To Liverpool. Before we move on and we're actually going to talk about the games, I just want to say the Liverpool loss, here's where it gets tricky. Losing Salah, like Jason said, we'll be fine. No players bigger than clubs. Celo arguably spoke the most sense he's ever spoken, and it's only taken him 99, 100 episodes to get there, but you've gotten there, Celo, so I'm very, very proud. But I think the huge loss, I don't think, and this is where it gets worrying for Liverpool, is that 2023, Klopp is finished. He's not going to stay. There's no way he's staying longer. I'm looking at it and I'm going, they're not renewing certain players. They're not buying him the players that he wants to build on another squad. We know it's the longest time he's ever spent at a club. So he's already done that, which, I mean, we're thankful for. But them throwing huge contracts at the players that we currently have is because they're going, Klopp, you know, maximize what you have before you leave. So it's the loss of Salah, and then it's possibly the replacement of someone else. Now, the name Gerrard getting thrown around with a possible move for Newcastle, for me, when I'm seeing it, I'm going, yes for Newcastle, and more yes for Liverpool than it is for Newcastle, because I'm going, go earn your stripes, so to speak, your black and white stripes in Newcastle before you come home, because you're going to come home. So I don't understand why that move makes sense for Newcastle, personally speaking.
But,
I want to hear.
But he won't leave. He can't leave. It's Rangers now, guys.
Of course he can, bro. Man, he talks, bro.
He'll go in there to manage himself and say, I'm leaving. They told me I keep the change?
I wish it was Wonga. I wish it was Wonga got the money. Wonga would be so cocky.
Money talks. Tell him.
Claudio, I reckon you could maybe get a Conte, and then Gerrard could maybe come as his assistant. You know, then he could learn his trade in the Premier League. No. I'm just
joking. You've got options, boy.
I've got options, man. Maybe I'll get Klopp and Pep in one go as a super combination there. Co-coach. No. To be very honest with you, if we got a Gerrard in, I wouldn't be upset at all. I think he would really take the opportunity with both hands, and I think he would actually do quite well. I would prefer him to Lampard, if I'm honest with you. Lampard's also in the mix. Surprisingly, Rodgers has been thrown. The name Rodgers has been thrown in. Yeah. Jay and I were talking today, and he had mentioned that potentially Liverpool would want him back, which would be interesting. From what I understand,
an interesting conversation, because it's not. I think he's burnt the bridge at Liverpool from a fan perspective. You know, he's learned the trade. He's become more senior, which is the enticing part. He knows the fabric of the club. And actually, it's a name that was thrown out by Carragher, I think it was, which is why all of a sudden the link's been made. But whether or not he's the right guy, you know.
But he's literally shut that down. He shut that down, Brendan Rodgers. Anything linking him away from the club.
But money talks longer, from the club. Bro.
Money talks, boy.
Guys,
not according to what you said.
Mosa has been in this situation. If we money watch talks. You, we will pay for you.
You'll buy yourself out. You go to the club management and say, gents, you guys said my clause is this much. Can I get my change? Can I please get my change and buy?
There's even talk. Sorry, guys, if we want to sack Steve Bruce, we've got to pay 8 million. They've just paid 305 million. They've got to pay 8 million to Bruce to sack him. They're like, that's small change. You see the sponsor here, Fun 88. We still got 3 years with him. We got this new brand, Castore. There's already talk that they're going to pay them.
Out
and say, listen, we don't want you. You can have your money. It's fine.
We're a big team now.
With that brand. Like your sponsors, I bet you your sponsors are willing to pay you more now. I bet you.
Definitely.
We'll probably say we'll double whatever we're paying.
Yeah.
Kid sponsor will say as well, we'll pay double.
Yeah, but so the problem is the PIF are also owners of a company called Aramco, which is, I think, oil, if I'm not mistaken.
Saudi Aramco, biggest company in the world.
So do you think Fun 88 can compete with them?
Not a chance. They don't have their biggest cap spend would be a speck compared to what Saudi Aramco can do, literally. And and they do it across various sports as well, right? They do come in where they do become the major player in terms of their endorsements and their sponsorships. They don't come in to be like one of the sponsors. They come in to actually say, okay, can you lift the entire league? Can you lift the entire sport? And that's the beautiful thing about Newcastle, the way it looks. It's going to literally be that the way it looks. You guys are going to be making all our teams look like dwarfs, even with our, like, you call us big clubs right now with the very good owners and rich owners, but those owners are dwarfs compared to the ownership that you have now. And that's it's going to be really significant. You're going to have the pick of the litter in terms of the upcoming talent, the current talent, the structures, the facilities. Everything's going to change, and that's it's going to only be good times going forward for Newcastle.
I think, you, in that sense, I mean, I think we'll also be able to see what the limits to what a team can do, because I think, yes, Newcastle have all the money, but you can only be as good as, I mean, your team is, as good as your players are and as good as your managers. Looking at it, even now, if they had to, I mean, you know, getting a player is not as easy as come here, you know. I mean, the guy is got to be, he obviously needs to, wants to, obviously, let's say the money is good, you'll think about coming. Is it the place that you'd want to stay? It's all these factors that you have to put into play. It's not going to be as simple as picking whoever you want, you know. But maybe time will tell. But I just think, yeah, you're only going to get a certain amount of good players. And yeah, Newcastle will probably win in that bid now. But with the other teams as well, they'll still have a say in that, I think.
Yeah, 100%. And that's why like some teams like Man City or PSG would be a very good example where players knew that, you know, look, if I do sign for a PSG, I'm actually going to live in Paris. I'm going to be in around that global city where it's like, it's quite a vibe. It's something nice to look forward to. Yeah, it's up north. It's like they're a little bit distant.
But unlike Paris, obviously you can live in Paris. It's lovely. You can have croissants and things like that. But Newcastle, the weather's going to be shit. But the fans, if you're decent enough, they're going to support the living hell out of you. But better yet, you're playing in the Premier League. And the Premier League is going to put you on the map. And that's the difference. That's what you got to PSG to walk the league for what? Yeah, apparently Messi's he's getting tired there. He's getting tired already. He's not happy. Gini Wijnaldum, not happy. He's been paid 4 or 5 times.
No. Gini Wijnaldum is different. Gini Wijnaldum, he's being benched because there are better midfielders than Gini Wijnaldum at PSG.
It's better? Yeah, is it better than Gini?
Marco Verratti.
Marco Verratti is top 5 midfielders in the world.
Guys,
Marco Verratti.
We'll just take them all. We'll take all of them.
Just wholesale, no? Just take them all. Just say, hey, all of you, come over here. That's what I think, you know. If they come out the blocks with their signings and literally come off the blocks hot and sign players like Mbappe, sign new upcoming talent who have the biggest price tags in the world, it's going to really make everybody look over their shoulder and say, yo, the likelihood of me being at Newcastle is very high now versus them looking at it down the line. They could say, fuck.
But I think also, I think, Claudio, you had said this, the Premier League is obviously the pinnacle of football for any footballer in the world. But I think also, for Newcastle, who haven't won anything since 1969, imagine you part of that group that actually goes and does that for those fans. You guys have seen those fans. Like, they will literally idolize those. They'll literally knight them in Newcastle, if you can even say it's that hectic.
I could see somebody being like Newcastle's most important player for the next 5 years.
100%. But I do think what's important to note here is I was listening to Talk Sport the other day, and they were actually saying that Newcastle can spend up to £1 billion within the first 18 months simply because Mike Ashley ran the club to make a profit. So we weren't in debt when he sold the club. So I think, I don't know how the numbers work, but from what I understand is there's a certain amount of money that you can go into debt for.
So what's quite nice about that, what's quite nice about that is that that's a solid foundation. And if you got to take what PSG owners spending 106, this is just, if you're going to compare the situation, what PSG spent on Mbappe coming to the club, Neymar coming to the club, that is change for the Saudis. Yeah. So if they wanted Mbappe, they would say, 250 mil? Is that fair?
We can step it up.
We'll add another mil there.
Because we're not small boys. Because we're not faith. Small lads here. We're big
not
lads.
Bad people. There's an extra 5 mil. Maybe 10, 25.
But but what I say, like you see, Jason says, must take it easy. Yeah, I get that money talks, you know. But what I'm saying is, at the end of the day, like, The players got to play together. It's not, you're not going to be guaranteed. Last year, you saw PSG squad and they still didn't win the league, you know. Yes, I'm not saying definitely. If Newcastle have the money to buy the right players, bound to win one league. You know, you're bound to win one league at least. But it's not going to be, like I say, it's not going to be as straightforward as
guys,
just getting all the players.
You've seen your teams win a trophy in your lifetime. You've seen them lift the trophy. That's all I want to see. Even if it's a League Cup, guys. With this money, if we can get a League Cup, but now I can dream more. Maybe I'll win the FIFA World Club Cup as well.
Get used to dreaming, champ. Get used to dreaming. Your dreams can come true
now. You know, you thought he was going to celebrate for England. It didn't happen. He's celebrating with England there.
Oh, no, and that's the beauty of it, right? It's gonna bring that paradigm in where you can see, like, yo, first of all, they have to get that manager sorted so that the players that they do sign come into an environment which is conducive to good football being displayed. Then after that, boy, the players are gonna flock left, right, and center. They are controlled by agents. They have they even now, like, to be honest. Cristiano Ronaldo, there was serious talk of him going to Man City. And that's a guy who made his name at Man United and grew up through the ranks there, knows the system well, knows the city well, and has a love story with the fans. But if the contract is saying, dog, it's not with Man United, it's with Man City, the arch rival, the player is just an instrument of his skills and his talents. He'll have to go. He'll have to go to where it's called. He's fortunate to have people like Sir Alex Ferguson. Oh, not actually, he's fortunate. Man United are fortunate to have people like Sir Alex Ferguson very close to him, very still, and still have an opportunity to speak in his ear. But if it weren't for people like Alex Ferguson there, you could have been watching Cristiano Ronaldo in a Man City top. And I think we should not take that lightly. Players will literally go to their club management and say, dog, there's people that have put money on my contract here. I have to pay myself out. I have to leave. And they'll leave. They're also there to make bread and butter for their family, for their well-being. It'll be an opportunity in the English Premier League. It's very little downside for a player to go to a Newcastle right now with the kind of thinking, forward thinking they're going to have at the club.
Yeah. I don't think that's valid. But gentlemen, on that note.
Yeah, big cloud boy, welcome.
This is 100 episodes and this unprecedented scene. We have spoken 47 minutes about Newcastle. Obviously, I've managed to wrangle Liverpool in the conversation somehow.
Whatever fixture Newcastle has this weekend, we just go to the predictions.
Yeah, well, they're playing Spurs. They're playing Spurs. Maybe that's why Matt is also not here. He's also hiding there. But okay, gents, that's what I wanted to ask you. Do we maybe just give predictions for the rest of the fixtures, or do we still want to talk about those fixtures? Celo, I mean, we're starting with the Leicester Man United again.
Let's do the old school way of doing predictions. We do the Wonga summary included in the result.
Okay.
Yeah. So the Wonga summary. You guys know the Wonga summary, right? He gives a little sentence. Attached to every prediction he gives.
Okay. Let's go ahead, Celo. First game we're going to be talking about is Leicester versus Man United. What do you feel? What do you think? And then let's hear that prediction. And then followed by Mr. Nick, followed by Wonga, followed by Morsa, ending by me there. All right.
Okay, perfect. It's a tough fixture. Harry Maguire and Rafael Varane won't be available for this game. So we're going to see Eric Bailly and Victor Lindelof playing together for this game.
Phil Jones.
Hey guys, if I see Phil Jones, I can't be seeing Phil Jones, guys. I would hate seeing Phil Jones, guys. That's such a rubbish player. But let's put Phil Jones on the bench. Is that okay?
Yeah, he
makes the bench for the first time in 18 months or something. You know, I think we can put him on the bench. But it'll be a tough game. It's at Leicester. Man United has a good away record, so we won't lose. But I definitely see a 1-1 result. I think there's a lot of big games coming up. You know, we're facing Liverpool next weekend. And then obviously after that, there's still Chelsea, Spurs, and the likes to come. Yeah. So let's see what Ole can do. But I think it's got a draw written over it, all over it, because we can't keep a clean sheet with our best 11 or best centre-back partnership. But also, Fred is playing tonight, so he's only going to get back to
the UK. He's going to come in late.
He's only going to arrive Friday evening. So that might help. So let's see who decides to play. But I would like him to play Pogba and Matic together. But let's see what happens. Yeah.
Do you think Cristiano will this time start, or you think another one is on the card where the boy must rest?
Now he'll start. No, Cristiano will start because Cavani is also in Uruguay right now. So that's the two main centre forwards we use. So
and Ronaldo scored in the week, eh? I think.
Yep.
On the week.
Yeah.
That means nothing to Ole. It means absolutely nothing to Ole.
It means nothing, man. Like, Pogba had a great game in the Nations League. You'll play him left wing or put him on the bench. Like, doesn't mean anything. You know?
Right back.
Ole's mismanaging the squad. So, but I reckon 1-1. Yes, Leicester hasn't been great this season.
1-1?
Yeah.
You saying your team's going to draw?
Yeah, bro. You must be honest sometimes, bro.
Just sometimes.
No, I don't think he's being honest. I think he's trying to spare some blushes. Yeah, I think that's what's going on. Nick, let's hear that.
After drawing, you know, Man United like to do this. They drop points and then they end up coming and smashing the next team, you know, the next week or the next, or this in this case, 2 weeks. But yeah, I do think Leicester haven't had the greatest start. So I do think they are going to probably, you know, see this as an opportunity to get 3 points. So yeah, I'm going to go with a Vardy winner. 1-0.
Yeah, man. Look, I also agree. If I was Vardy right now, and Iheanacho, looking at that defense of Man United, I know even with its best four, it could leak goals. If it doesn't have its best four, I'm thinking, yo, I'm going to run at these lads all day. De Gea has to be on his top form, top ace performance to be able to stop me out. So I think players like Iheanacho and Vardy will definitely come to the party and probably give Leicester 2-1 win.
Vardy's going to have a party.
Vardy party. Wonga, Denga, let's hear it. Where are you at, Wonga?
I don't know. Like what Nick is saying, Leicester are hungry for a win. It looks like I'm looking here. I'm just making sure I'm not wrong here. But it looks like Leicester have only won against Wolves, and that was their first game in the season. Yeah, and they haven't won since, and they've conceded 12. I think only scored 5.
Yeah,
they're sitting on the bottom half of the table. Not a place they're familiar with. In the recent success that they've had, it's not going to be an easy one for Man United. And again, Man United should be taking this game despite best performance. I mean, the players that Man United have. But again, you'll say if someone, now again, if Ole makes the wrong decisions, it can put them off, you know. But they have, for me, from looking at the two teams, Man United have what it takes to beat a current form Leicester. And they should win this game. And I don't think it would be, it's not straightforward, but I'd give it I would say Man United to take it 2-1 in the end.
Yeah. So I you know what, Wonga, I agree with you. I think it's going to be a 2-1 victory, Man United, only because I think Ole's had the international break to think about what he did. And I'm sure Ferguson phoned him saying, listen, oi, mate, what were you thinking putting Ronaldo there on the bench? No, you know, that's definitely, I think he's not going to make the same mistake. And I think Ronaldo, at the end of the day, is going to be the difference. So a 2-1 victory there to Man United, in my opinion. My humble opinion. And now, the giant killers, Brentford versus Chelsea. Amosa, I want to hear this. What do you think is going to happen? Brentford? We said, gents, you know, I've spoken about Brentford. What? Hey. Draw? They beat Wonga.
Just
Arsenal.
Like Nick said, they got money talks. So they've been doing their money ball predictions and data analytics and what to get their players in and make sure they can beat the other Smolanyana teams.
What do you call Brentford, the startup team.
So they're going to meet a well-established monopoly type of team now, which there are a few injuries that we have to be concerned about as well going into this game. We do have to make a few changes. Like players like Thiago Silva won't be back in time, but we do have really good options, right? I think the beauty of the Chelsea this season is the squad depth that we have, and it seems like when people are given the opportunity to play, they are really, really coming to the party. So, if a Thiago Silva is missing because he'll land in London on Saturday, I think a Christensen will come in and slot in well. N'Golo Kante is back. He's been in training this past week. Reece James has been in training this past week. We still have difficulties in the left back. Both our players, Chilwell and Alonso, have been looking very, very good for club and country. So that's something to consider going forward as well for the manager. Romelu Lukaku apparently had a muscle strain, which is fair. He's been playing quite a bit of football over the past couple of weeks without actually.
And Rudiger, Rudiger also didn't play both games for Germany, right? So
yeah, he didn't play the second game for Germany, and they sent him back home. Or he was actually in the hotel at the time of the game. So potentially he'll be fit, but I think we do have enough depth in our squad to kind of manage that game. I mean, it if you have a Christensen and then you do look at players like Chalaba coming into the fray, you do have a N'Golo Kante, you do have a Jorginho available, you do have Kovacic available, you do have Saul available, you have quite a few options to express to solidify that defense, which has been excellent so far this season. I think we'll manage to positionally do well. And then attacking, we'll have more options, right? We'll have players like Timo Werner, who seems to be coming to good form with club. He scored before he left, and he scored for the country as well. We have Kai Havertz, we have Ziyech all available. So, yeah, man, Mount is in the fray as well. So we have really good options, Nick. So you're going to be talking like this sometime in the near future, right, Nick, where you're going to have depth and quality squads in your
locker room. So you mentioned in players there.
That's a flex.
You mentioned in players there that we might just steal off you, Christensen. You have a problem with one of the left backs, I'll just take one of them. It's fine. We'll just pay for them.
Problem off your shoulders.
making a joke, Nick. But the truth is, Chelsea, they've got a second squad that's capable of being good enough to be the first team. And you will look at Newcastle going, this left back isn't getting game time at Chelsea. Let's just give them 20% more and they'll be our first team player to begin with. So that is
And they'll be fully capable. Yeah, and they'll be fully capable players to actually pull the team out of like a relegation battle into the middle half of this season. And then next season, two seasons down the line, they'll be able to, you know, compete.
It's a challenge.
And it's very exciting for you at this point in time. But I'm going to keep my players for now. And with the players, I think we'll be fielding on the day. I think there is good opportunity for us to win. Brentford are exciting, and I don't want to disrespect the accolades that they've managed to achieve this season. They have managed to score goals quite well. I know Liverpool got to see that side of them through set pieces and through open play. So I think we'll probably get
Not
to
Arsenal.
Like a
3-1. Arsenal didn't see anything, yeah.
Arsenal yeah, and Arsenal. But Arsenal is a small team, man. I'm talking about big teams. So I think, my prediction would be a 3-1 because I think they do have something in them, but we'll just be able to dominate and figure out the game as we go. So 3-1 to Chelsea.
Selo, what do you think there?
Yeah, no, I think it'll be an interesting game. I think we must not underestimate the startup team. The startup team has shown Liverpool that they can score 3 goals. They've shown Arsenal score 2 goals against them. And I think they are here to stay. I think they're the Leeds United of last season and the Sheffield United of 2 seasons ago. That's Brentford this season, you know. So be careful of the startup team. So I think the startup team will actually get a draw in this game.
A draw? Yeah. Hey, come on, man. Come on.
You said Leicester would beat them.
But that's why.
I think.
What's cool? What's cool? So low, draw.
1-1.
I see
a lot of goals in this game because they tend to score in every game they play. But I do see Chelsea winning. I think it's going to be tricky going away. It's also a derby, so I think the fans will be up for it. a new type of derby for both sets of fans. So it will be, I think the atmosphere will be electric. And I think they're an entertaining team. You know, they remind me of like the Newcastle of 95. You know, they don't mind losing 3-2, but as long as they play good football, you know. But I think that's my prediction. I think they'll lose. I think they'll put up a fight, but I think they'll lose 3-2. I think they will score goals and make it a little bit tricky for Chelsea.
Okay, yeah. But now it's time for our Brentford expert there, Wonga. You've suffered at the hands of Brentford. Let's hear what you have to say.
And you haven't.
Yeah, I conceded 3 goals.
You haven't suffered. Come on, we were respectable.
Look, I think, Arsenal performance was flippant dismal against Brentford. But, yeah, not to take away that, yeah, those guys will give a fight. The one thing, I mean, I would be realistic about Chelsea when you consider 3 goals this season. And if you do watch the defense play, you can see it's sort of that defense that can take you to win the league in a season. Those guys, you can see it. They don't want to concede. They'll throw everything. You can actually see the passion and, I mean, the purpose that they're playing for when you're watching players. Like, I mean, Rudiger looks like a different player. I mean, he's going to hack anything that gets close to the box, you know?
But
I mean,
just on that Rudiger thing, sorry to Wonga, and you can answer because you are speaking right now, but Rudiger, it seems to me that he's playing for a contract somewhere else, personally speaking, because his contract's up at the end of the season. He still hasn't renewed one. And my opinion is...
No.
Didn't he renew it, actually? And I'm like,
haven't they shown him an offer for like £11 million a season, this next offer? I think they gave him an offer.
He's playing for a contract. Sorry, Wonga, as you were.
At which other club, dog?
Newcastle.
Why not?
No, man.
Why not?
He's got silverware in his cabinet right now. He's literally just come off the back of winning Champions League.
So he's got the silverware. Now he must go win with another team.
No, man, gentlemen.
I think, and there's also that youngster as well that you guys have at the back. So I forgot his name. I think he scored in the guys' last game. Yeah, Chalobah.
Slot in very well.
He's also done that. But, I mean, the thing is, those guys, they play with a purpose. So, I mean, realistically, Brentford are going to come against now a Chelsea that have seen what they can do against Arsenal. They saw that they put 3 goals against Liverpool. I think Chelsea are going to come there. I mean, play and respect those players, and it will be difficult for them to score. So I think in the end it would probably be, I'd say 2-0 win to Chelsea. I don't think they're going to bombard them with goals. If Lukaku doesn't play, because I see it says he's a questionable one, maybe a 1-0. But I think if that guy's playing, it's going to be a big problem for those guys.
So I just want to leave. I want to put this thought in everyone's minds and then review your own prediction after I've put this thought in your mind. Planted the seed, inception, so to speak. Leonardo DiCaprio'd that shit. Okay, listen to this.
So, DiCaprio.
The Crapio.
You're crapping on that shit.
I'm crapping on the shit. Anyway. So take Sean Dyche. Remember I spoke about him recruiting players at the bar, right? The pub. Okay. All right. English pub. That's what he was doing. Now take them in their prime. Just re-energize. So he's just fought these guys. He's given them their first break. Now they're tired. They're tired of fighting. Now you've got Brentford, who are the most sophisticated pub fighters, where they've been recruited from like hypothetically a suave sort of pub. This is what Brentford
High-end
pub. So they are high-end pub fighters, Brentford. So what I'm saying is, they're going to come in there, they're going to offer Chelsea cocktails, and then they're going to kick them with proper beers, their slogs down there. And I think it's going to be tough day. And bet your bottom dollar that the Brentford fans are going to make too much noise for those Chelsea guys. They're not going to know what's going to hit them. And I'm going to say 2-1 victory, Brentford. You heard it, Jeff.
Are you nuts, dude? Week. Are you crazy?
Put the money on. You'll make some money this weekend.
Not a chance, man. Yes, just because you guys drew to them. 3-3.
And then I'm going to laugh. I'm going to laugh on Tuesday. You watch. I'm going to laugh. Okay. All right.
Oh, my goodness.
Gents, Newcastle Spurs, it's that time. It's that time. Selo, open us up. Nick spoke far too much for our liking tonight.
Nick can actually exit the show so we can actually speak freely about his club. But wait, guys. There's something that you guys forgot here. We didn't audit, guys. The first match we spoke about was Man United versus Leicester. The first match of the weekend,
it's not Friday night,
is Watford versus Liverpool, guys. How do you like that, guys?
Thank you, auditor. Thank you.
How? I'm like, now we're talking about Sunday fixtures, but we're on Liverpool. How do you play this weekend?
It's a fine. His prediction is also a fine. Fine as well for your prediction, by the way.
It's only a fine if it doesn't come to fruition. Then it's a fine.
Yeah, Newcastle versus Spurs. Yeah, I think the Geordies are going to be buzzing. It's going to be crazy there at St. James's Park. And yeah, I think Newcastle will win this game just because of the atmosphere around the club. The guys will probably be saying, hey, guys, if I play well for Newcastle, I could be a part of this new revolution and I could stay in this club. You know, if you're a player that was a bit part player, you know, in this team and not a focal point, not a main cog in the team, you could actually say, hey, I could actually make a career out of myself at Liverpool. You know, I mean, Newcastle, sorry. Yeah, but that other small town, small team.
It's on the brain, boy. It's inception. I told you, Leonardo DiCaprio.
So I think Nick is going to be a very happy man on Sunday evening, and Matt will be a very sad man. 2-1 to Newcastle.
I think. Thank you, Selo. Let me stop by thanking you. I think just looking at Twitter, you know, I think obviously everyone wants Steve Bruce out ASAP, but we've spoken as to why maybe he would still be in charge on Sunday. But I think it's clear to see that Sunday is not about one man. It's about, you know, the fact that we've got our club back and, you know, we're going for something that we couldn't have dreamt of, you know, a couple of weeks ago, let alone actually living it right now. So as Selo says, the atmosphere is going to be incredible. And I think you're right. You know, if those players want to have a chance of being part of something special, you know, they're going to have to play. And I think there's a great opportunity to play against the Spurs that haven't really convinced me this season. And we've got Callum Wilson back. Sam Maximum is always a treat to watch. And I think we'll be winning this game 3-1. Callum Wilson brace and Sam Maximum with a nice little dance at the end to get the fans happy. 3-1 win.
Gentlemen,
Pums.
Sorry,
Morsa. We got Pums also pulling in order. Sunday lunchtime kickoff must come first. Okay.
That's yeah.
My lunch, my lunch is later in the evening. You know, we have siesta first, and then we watch the games. Sorry, Morsa.
Then he eats on Saturday before he eats on Friday. I understand the stadium will be buzzing, fans will be electric, there is going to be a lot of energy around the stadium, but on the field, there's going to be very little change from a Newcastle perspective. It's still the same manager, still the same players. Yes, you'll have Callum Wilson back, but they are going to be going up against Tottenham, which have to bounce back as soon as possible to kind of salvage the rest of their season. Given the great start they had, and they do have really high pedigree players on their field, which can use that same electricity and that same energy to give themselves a push in the back of their performance that on the day. So I do think, yeah, it is a little bit too soon to expect any changes on the field from Newcastle, and that's something which I think Newcastle has to consider deeply going into the January transfer. They may have a very good plan, a very good approach. But if they are sitting languishing at the bottom of the log come January, the new management isn't going to be happy about that. They didn't just spend
in excess of 300 million to be in that position, and they're going to make several wholesale changes, and that would be communicated as part of their plan and their approach. So I do seriously think that Newcastle may be a little bit out of their depth here. I think Tottenham, the quality they have, the players like Son, the players like Kane will be there and do have something to prove. So I think it will definitely go Tottenham's way, 3-1.
And I think most of the only thing they have to prove is why we should sign them and how we should sign them. So they'll be so playing Kane for a contract thinking, with us.
Yeah, Kane will be thinking, Man City, they those lads left me at the door.
Yeah. Abu Dhabi, Saudi Arabia,
It's gone. So it's literally those type of dynamics. And I don't see any significant change within the Newcastle camp over the past week, where they said, okay, now because we've got new ownership, maybe the match bonuses are increased, but I don't think it's enough for them to justify a solid performance against the Tottenham.
Can we please tell Pums to take it easy on me? I thought he'd be happy for me, man. Come on.
Pums isn't wrong here, because there's already this backdoor conversations. You know, it's that... That one kid at school who got the hot date, and now all the other ones are jealous, and now they're all whispering, trying to like bring that person down, and that's kind of currently what's happening. So I think Pums is onto something there. Wanga, what do you think is going to happen in this game?
Look, I mean, Newcastle haven't won a game since the beginning of the season. It's a long time, yo.
Hang on. He's toned. Then Wanga's like, no, Newcastle haven't won one. He's really taking a knock on you, man.
Listen, I think
Wanga will bring you back down to earth, guys. He'll just quickly,
quickly make you realize it's been tough times. Before you forget,
you haven't won a game.
I don't think. I would like Newcastle to beat Tottenham. But look, the guys haven't. Like I said, they haven't won a game this season. They've been clapped in some. They've drawn some. I mean, but. But now they're playing, like you guys said, it's a different situation now. And again, it can work against them. It can work for them.
Oh my goodness.
They're playing now at the home stadium against a decent squad. You've got new management. There's a new vibe going around. It could help them. But I think, I don't think, realistically looking at it, I don't think it'll be enough to beat Tottenham. I think at the end of the day, it might just, let's say, to make it more respectable, to make it a 1-0 win.
Instead of being club.
I'm going to say everything opposite to what Cello was saying. Cello was saying, and to what Nick was saying, really, the players have to play for contracts. Yeah. I think the players are looking at the situation saying, we are so close. We are so close. Our dreams are coming to fruition. We are so close of getting rid of Steve Bruce. What's one more game? What's one more game of a poor performance? And at least if it's against the Spurs, there's a little bit of quality. We can get away with it. We can get away. If we lose like 4-3-0 to like a shit side, then we're in trouble. But to a Spurs, we can kind of, you know, hang our heads up a little bit. Let's get Steve Bruce out. So I'm saying, I'm agree with the other gent, Bonga. I'm saying Spurs victory through and through. And you know what? Let's hope for the sake, because the Kane situation, Kane is not coming to the party, gentlemen. We talk about Vardy party. Kane's not coming to the party. My question is, Newcastle might. I'm saying the dream of moving to a big club is finished for the guy if he doesn't pull in anything this season. And possibly his only hope, and I asked this question on the group, is that his only hope is in Newcastle if they would want to come in after him. And so he better start firing, and it better start happening against Newcastle. Otherwise, I worry for him. But a 3-1 victory to Spurs, in my opinion. And we're going to save the best for last. We're not going to 3-1. Simple one. Thanks for coming. Okay.
You say the best for last.
The best for last is coming. It's coming. But we're going to start with this one. Okay. The Watford Liverpool one. Cero, let's hear your opinion. Then Nick, Mosa, Wonga.
Yeah, I think just because you made us wait till the end, I'm going to say Watford's going to win this game. Watford's going to win this game. Ishmaila stars on form. Fabinho and Alisson the charter plane that Man United, Man City, Liverpool, and all these other clubs are contributing towards. So at the earliest, I think that these guys are going to arrive Friday evening, you know. So you'll have a different goalkeeper in goal. Your most important midfielder won't be starting. To be honest, it's another draw for me. There's going to be a lot of draws this weekend, so this is a draw for me. Ismail Assar, they have a new coach as well. Claudio Ranieri.
The Tinker Man is back.
And he's taking over Watford's first game, and it's at home. So, yeah, 1-1 scoreline. Initially, I was going to say 1-0, but I'll be kind. The Egyptian king is still lurking, so 1-1.
Cool. I think Liverpool are going to win this. Like, they're in good form. I think they're going to smash him. We played Watford the other day and we should have won. Unfortunately, we ended up drawing the game. Or did we lose? No, we lost. We drew the game. Murphy missed that.
It's a distant memory now. It's the past, Nick. You're looking to the future.
Yeah. I think the Tinkerman's going to come in and ruffle a few feathers, but I do think Liverpool will have too much for them. I still think it's going to be a tough ask for Watford to stay up, but they need to try beat teams in and around them. So, yeah, unfortunately, the big teams, I don't really see it happening. Maybe the odd one here and there, but not against Liverpool this weekend. I think a 2-0 win for Liverpool.
Yeah, I have to agree with Nick there. Like, Watford can pull at straws, but this draw is a little bit too high up. You'll be facing a Liverpool team, which is really in contention for the league as well. They do have a lot of potential going up up front, and a lot of good players from fringe who are fringe players coming into the fray and actually showing their worth. So, I do think Liverpool will be the better team on the day. Come what may with the Tinkerman being in the building. I think, yes, he might be a little bit more solid defensively, but that's all he can do in a space of 2 weeks, isn't it? It's not much more you can do in terms of making the team more expressive and change your philosophy in 2 weeks. So I do think Liverpool have it going for them. They're competing. They know they're very close to the top. They're going to be looking up instead of looking down, and they're probably going to go into this game thinking that, yeah, 2-0 victories. Something that they'll come out with. So 2-0 to Liverpool on my side.
Yeah. Yes. Liverpool have played looking at five games away this season, and they scored 17. And they've conceded
four. Up to Wongs with the hard cutting edge fact.
They haven't lost any of those games. The only one they drew was against Watford, which was away. And then PS, they slapped Porto 5-1, then Portugal. It's not going to be an easy one. It's not going to be an easy one for Watford. Watford, I mean, Ranieri, they've got a new coach, and voila, you get Salah and Mane up front. Probably Jota can be thrown in the mix as well. It's going to be a difficult one for him. And I think it'll be too difficult. And I think probably Liverpool will win it out 2-0. I think, yeah, Ranieri's probably not going to try and make sure his team doesn't get clobbered 6 or 7. I think it'll probably just be a 2-0. Maybe succeed at the 2-0. Yeah.
Look, from a Liverpool perspective, I think I'm not sure if Jota will be ready because he's picked up an injury on international duty. I'm not sure about the Brazilian boys either, whether or not that. Yeah, so that might be somewhat of an issue coming the day. And yeah, lunchtime kickoff might scoring. Be. It might be too soon. Yeah, but if there's one thing you know about any Claudio, I mean, just take me as an example. Claudio's are hype men. They're hype men. And I think Claudio Ranieri, what he's going to do is he's just going to hype the players. And that's all he's going to do as a manager. So I don't think that's going to be enough to stop a Liverpool, personally speaking. So I am going to say 2-0 victory to Liverpool. That's what I'm going to say. And just in case you wondered whether or not this is methodically worked out by me or was just thought of on the fly, I mean, I'll let you think about whether or not which option it is. But we're going to move on to the classic. The classic.
Auditing. Yeah. The auditing will take place.
Paddy Vieira going home.
This is the game is on Monday, so it's correctly the last game of the fixture list. But that other game being second last was yeah, we did auditing. Find it.
As you say, rubbish.
rubbish. But for the Arsenal versus Palace game. Listen, I think Palace have been looking good. They've been it's just they've been unlucky. you know, they were leading 1-0 against Brighton, I think it was, and then Brighton ended up drawing the game 1-1. So I think this game, Arsenal on a bit of a good run, but obviously they were brought down to earth last week by pulling some blanks against Brighton. So I think that Arsenal will get a victory in this game. I think that you know, with Arsenal, it's always interesting. You know, it's an up and down team. You know, on their day they can beat anyone, and on their day they can lose to anyone. But I think in this match, Patrick Vieira's guys won't have what it takes to fare against the mighty Arsenal. So 2-1 to Arsenal.
Where is the game going to be played?
It's going to be played at the Emirates.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
I think Palace have to enjoy Zaha while they can, because he'll be off to us soon enough, probably.
Funny.
Who do you want?
What do you want?
What do you want?
Man, it just came in.
I'll take that one and that one and that one. Five of those. yeah, I think Palace are exciting. I think Vieira will want to sort of prove, you know, it's two young managers against each other, and he'll want to prove that he's, you know, in that caliber of potentially managing a club the size of Arsenal, you know, one day, you know. So I do think, I don't think it's going to be easy. Another London derby. Palace will be up for it. Good performances this season. They've already smashed Spurs. So they'll be looking at this game going into it confidently. Arsenal, hot and cold this season. They've had a decent run up until probably their last game. But I do think this will end up in a draw. I think it will be a 1-1 draw. Wolf Zaha scored a goal there.
It's crazy that, like, you know, Palace have done so well, like, in their derbies. Like, they literally knocked Tottenham off that mantle that they were sitting on with no defeats before encountering a Palace. And that was because it was a derby. They were pumped up. They looked the part. They are improving as well. Like, every game that you watch them playing now, they look like they're having more opportunities than their opponents. It's just they're not converting them very well all the time. And I think that is something which Arsenal might have to consider very, very deeply going into this game. From an Arsenal perspective, I do see how the young boys are coming to the party, but yo, there has to be a lot more, dog. There has to be a lot more which comes to the party and gets the results for them. Yes, the past run has been very strong. I think it's been like 4 games of strength where they've managed to eke out results. Five. My mistake. 5 out of 7.
Considered 1.
Is it 5 out of 7 that they've had? Isn't it 4, dog?
4 out of 7 that they've... 3, 4, 5. And then Brentford is 6. And they've conceded 1.
Okay.
So we've got every we're gonna have a new intro for the show. We're gonna say Optibonga for every
time. That's because we're taking care of the small teams. Yeah, we take care of small teams in this thing. The big teams are looking down on the small teams and pulling them up. But I think it's gonna be tough times for Arsenal again. Derby. The boys have to come to the party and show their mantle. I think Vieira is getting a very offensive approach with the Palace makeup. They are looking to score a little bit more goals, and that's quite exciting to watch as a fan and as a generalist from my side. So I do think it's going to be quite tricky for Arsenal going into this. That being said, I do think Arsenal will be able to eke out a result and maybe get a 1-1 result on the day.
This guy, there's no respect in what this guy is saying.
People are down there.
Like, even to the Sky Sports, they're like, what should the league look like? They were looking at the 6 or 7 teams, and Arsenal wasn't there. They put Brentford there. Ah, come on.
No, but man. How can you expect to feature?
No. Listen. I'll say it. Now you're going to see against Crystal Palace now. Again, Vieira. He's, like you said, he's going offensive. But everyone knows this. You can't go offensive and then leave your back door open. Arsenal will score. Arsenal, I've told you now, they've scored ever since changing their defense. They've only conceded 1 goal. We conceded five, two against Brentford, and then five against Man City. Until Arteta said, and then Arteta decided to say, oh, yeah, you know what? I think we're too open at the back. And then they changed things. They changed those guys. And now I think we're doing well. I don't think...
Changed the goalkeeper. Please mention that part.
And...
The change you didn't like.
Defense. The goalkeeper. Yes.
Arsenal fans.
That's another topic. Anyways, but nonetheless, they did the business, and I don't think even Crystal Palace they scored against teams. If they score against us, it'll probably be one goal. But I think the fact that they're going to be open as well, Arsenal will know this, and I think that'll be. That'll work into our favor, just like Tottenham. I don't think they'll be gaping like Tottenham was. I think they will be open. I think Arsenal will be able to put in more goals than Crystal Palace. So I say a 3-1 even to Arsenal. And you've got everyone available.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a confident. You need to back your team. Like what's his name said on the show on Monday there, Cello. If you're not going to be the hype man of your own team,
Pilani said that. Yeah, you need to hype your team up. If you don't hype it up, who's going to hype it up, right?
But you generally have all your players available, especially when like they don't get called up to international duties. So,
it comes with the territory down there where players are just chilling. They're going to training.
The
coach has more time with them.
Come on, guys. Saka's scoring. Saka's doing business for England. They're relying on that guy. He's scoring. Come on. Don't disrespect my guys.
Saka's going to be wearing a new Tottenham shirt?
Sometime soon, bro.
You know what's funny about Willock's contract? I'm curious to see what happens with Willock's contract. Because remember, he had that clause about playing Champions League. What's going to happen? I'm just curious about that. Anyway, going back to the Arsenal game, I think the tricky situation is you got a Patrick Vieira eyeing up. He's going to be on that touchline, and we know he's significantly taller than Arteta. I think he might be, actually. We don't know that.
He is, definitely.
He is. So he's going to be on that touchline.
I don't
touch
know his height, but he is definitely
taller. But he's going to be on that touchline, and he's going to be...
He's as tall as me.
Yeah, that's tall. Big feet there. He's got big feet. So what I'm going to say is, and maybe something else. I don't know. Okay, maybe tell our viewers. Anyway,
I test.
he's gonna be on that side. He's gonna be on that side, and he's gonna be eyeing up Arteta up and down, and he's gonna be saying, "This fraud got a job that I'm capable of getting. I'm gonna show this guy something." And I think that's gonna be the tricky part there for Arsenal. Arteta coming out of that.
He's not gonna be playing. Vieira's not going
to
be playing.
He doesn't have to be playing. He's going to outsmart him. He's going to say, I'm a better manager. He's not. You said he was
Arteta
playing.
Arteta won't
longer.
Be playing as well, man.
Managers never play. The players never play.
Our players kept the clean sheet. He can think it. He can want it. He can try and hype them as much as they want. There's no.
Oh, man.
Anyway, all I'm saying is, if you've been following
our predictions... You must keep that energy for the relegation battle, Wanga.
save the energy for the battles that matter. All I'm saying is, for everyone watching, if you've been paying special attention to these predictions, if you want to make some hardcore cash, you just put your money on everything I said this weekend. The probability is very unlikely, but you'll make money. And I'm going to further one going on, say Palace winning, and they're going to win 2-1.
Most unlikely prediction is your Chelsea prediction, because that was hogwash. Just to put it up.
Money. You guys see. All right, gentlemen. On that note, it's been the 100th episode. We've come to the end of that episode. Final thoughts before we move on, or before we say anything else. Actually, that is the final thoughts. You see, 100 episodes, we still don't get this right. Anyway, Selo, let's hear it. Nick, hear it. Mosa, hear it. Wanga, Denga. Sign it all.
Yeah,
for
no,
us.
Guys. 100 episodes, amazing stuff. To 100 more episodes and to more banter and more laughs. And I guess in the next 100 episodes, we'll be seeing a bigger and better Newcastle, which is, I guess, is great for the league, but not great for the human rights of the world.
Easy. No. Delete your Uber app now. Delete your Uber app now. Delete Uber now. Delete Twitter time, now.
That time, Ole In is not a human rights violation, but it's fine.
Oh, man. I don't want to talk out of turn here, but are we not giving away something? Or do you want to just delete that part quickly?
Tuesday, Nick. You don't pay attention. You're too distracted.
He's got money. He's throwing money around now.
Yeah, I can buy the shirts for you guys.
You do it better than I do, Selo. Go ahead.
So how you can win a shirt? You just need
what
to
shirt,
go on Selo?
Come on, I thought you did this better than I. Be specific.
Okay, just to win a Gold Lounge T-shirt,
family tee, limited edition. Come on, be better.
You need to go on our Instagram or Twitter.
You should take the lead then.
You need to follow us either on Instagram or Twitter, and then you need to subscribe to the YouTube channel, and then you need to comment and say who's been the best Premier League player so far this season.
Yes.
Grab one of these bad boys. They're beautiful shirts, and you'll be joining our family club. Bigger club than the other family club.
And you know what that was there, Selo? That was Mosa undermining your first delivery. That's what he was saying. I can put in a better cross. Thank you, Mosa. I was going to say on that note, what we will be doing is when we give away that shirt, we're going to put in a little draw, and we're going to put the draw live. And it's going to spin. It's going to spin the wheel. And if you have done these things, subscribed, liked, and commented, then you will go into the draw, and then we'll see who's going to win, and we'll announce it. Wanga Denga, what do you have to say for us?
You guys can see that hole in my head, right? It's not the screen. It's actually all those predictions of Claudio that Claudio's been giving for 100 episodes.
They've left a mark on you.
Yeah. It's predictions like that. End up with things like this. But yeah, thanks guys for being with us, and watch Arsenal punish Crystal Palace come Monday.
Right. Mosa. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, from my side, I just want to thank everybody who's been part of this. Thank you, Claudio Barrera, for putting it together. Thank you for everybody else to come into the party. Nick, I know you've survived the first 100 episodes. Shout out to you. Wanga, good luck for the next 100 episodes. We're not sure what's going to cook. And the rest, keep the banter and keep the good times. It's going to be lovely going forward with you guys.
I think what's going to be interesting is to see when we are at 200, where Newcastle are in the league and what sort of squad we have. So I'm so excited. Guys, listen, at least we've documented this. We've got 100 episodes, records, that we can go back to when I was struggling, fighting relegation. And now my team is back, boys. My team is back. I'm so proud.
They'll only be back when Steve Bruce leaves the building. That's all
and
I'm saying.
Listen, as Musa would say, shout out.
Shout out.
Gentlemen, to the newbies, we want to say thank you. We really appreciated you. We want to see you back. To the regulars, we love you. And we want to keep having you here because you make the show. So thank you very much. And on that note, you know how to end the show off. 3, 2, 1.
Stop it.
Wonga, was
that
delayed?
You guys are in the building now. Stop it.